have an army.
We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 85 of We Have a Hulk podcast. I'm your host, Nicola, and this is the other lovely host, Chris.
Oh, that's nice.
How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm a little bit hot and bothered, but other than that, I'm fine.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A little bit shiny from that crab from Moana, because I've been
so shiny
after sun.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. I am okay too, thank you very much.
Oh, how are you, Nicola?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Anyway, awkward. What are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
So we've got Home the Hulks, going to be doing our Glow Season 2 review. Then we've got an interview with David Finch, who is a comic book artist from such things as
Marvel and DC, most known for Moon Knight and possibly Batman Run quite recently.
Ooh, fantastic. Then we got a Hulk Topics, which is what is your favourite retro property?
Inspired by Glow. So at Home with the Hulks, what have you been watching, reading, doing the past week then, Chris?
So we did Pokemon Go Community Day.
Yes, there were two events this weekend actually, wasn't there?
Yes, there was actually, which is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
Okay.
I kind of like the idea that there's just one a month and so you only have to commit to like a few hours, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
But they had Shiny Articuno Day.
Yes.
And then they had Shiny Squirtle Day.
Yes.
The next day, pretty much at the same time. Which is, we had things to be doing.
Right?
we did manage to get to both of them.
Yeah.
But not for the full time of each.
No.
And so then you feel like you're kind of being stretched across.
Yeah.
You know? But you got your Shiny Articuno.
I did, so nice. Yeah. I think in our group of, how many people were there? Like 15 to 18 at certain times. I think only two of us got Shiny Articunos.
Yeah.
Which is quite bad for the odds, really.
One in 18 is the chance, which isn't great. I mean, if you're going to do an event, I think, especially if it's only for a few hours,
yeah,
just let everyone get one.
Definitely. I mean, you get 5 free raid passes. You should have got one in 5, right?
Yeah.
Shiny Articuno.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It should have been 20% chance. Or if you hadn't got it by the fifth one, they just give it to you.
Yeah.
Because,
there you go.
Yeah. I mean, that seems fair to me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you've just wasted a load of time. I mean, we did get a lot of experience from it.
Yes. We both leveled up. Woo-hoo!
Yes. I think they have like a quadruple experience event going on at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, you did get a lot of experience. So that.
But anyway, Squirtle Day was pretty cool because there were sunglasses Squirtle, like from the animated show. Because what was it, Squirtle Squad or something? They were amazing. Legends.
Yeah, it was good. I liked this one a bit more, but I think because they had a different twist on it.
Like, yeah.
I think they're testing things, aren't they? They're constantly testing.
Yeah.
Usually you go on a community day and you just keep walking around catching the Pokemon until you finally get a legendary.
Yeah.
But on this,
shiny.
They had, shiny.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Diablo.
Okay.
You get research tasks.
Yes, that was good.
And after catching 5 of them, which you are doing anyway, you get a chance encounter with one which has the goggles on.
Goggles, sunglasses, and then it was an increased chance of getting a shiny sunglasses one, which was amazing when you evolved it to Blastoise because that looked crazy.
Like shiny Blastoise
with
the sunglasses. With
sunglasses, of course.
So I was happy to get the shiny sunglasses ones, which was cool.
Yeah,
got a couple of those, I think.
We had the main event yesterday, didn't we? We had our big family barbecue.
Yes.
Yes.
After the shiny Squirtle event.
Yes.
Yeah, with Nicola's family.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Nice.
You had your new man toy to play with.
I got my new barbecue gear out.
Yes.
I was, starting to perfect my barbecue game, you know.
Didn't get your goggles out, though, I noticed.
Yeah, I bought a load of gear. So I got the, chimney for lighting all the charcoals.
Yes.
And that works really well because I've struggled so much with trying to light charcoal over the years.
Especially
I had no
being
idea
a man.
These existed.
Especially being a man, you know, you've got to perform and get the barbecue proper and going and stuff. Because, you know, when you get men together to do barbecues, they all kind of huddle around the barbecue and you're like the immense pressure of starting the barbecue.
Actually, there wasn't much huddling in this
No, there wasn't. I noticed that. I think it's because it was quite
under control.
Yeah, that was, you were done. Yeah.
We didn't need to discuss it.
No,
it's fine.
It's true. But yeah, we had a baby and we had a dog, and that was an interesting mix. But it turned out all right, actually, I think.
Yeah, it was fine. I was slightly disappointed there wasn't more interaction between the two, you know.
Oh, really? That could have been quite cute. I thought that was good. I was a bit scared because
babies can be a bit harsh with their animals.
Yeah. Mm, because they're like, pat, pat, smack. Like,
I mean, it was quite heavy-handed, but Lulu didn't seem to care.
No.
Lulu was the dog.
Not really.
FYI.
Yes. So what have we been watching then?
So we watched the England game.
Yes. Very, very good.
So much less stressful than the previous one, I think, because, you know, we seemed like we were in control and we got a goal pretty early and then we got another. So it's like, oh, okay.
I think once we got our second goal, I was like, okay, I can calm down now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can stop being so nervous.
Yeah, right.
But then they had a really good shot, and that goalkeeper is really good, actually, England goalkeeper. I've been really impressed with all the goalkeepers, actually, in this World Cup tournament. And then we watched we sort of caught the end of the Russia and Croatia game.
Yes, that went on for a while, didn't it?
Yes, a lot of these games have been going down to penalty shootouts. It's been crazy.
It's good. It's entertaining.
I did feel bad for Russia, though. I mean, them being there kind of hosts and going out on penalties, but they did so much better than everyone thought, though. I mean, they got pretty far.
Yeah, but if they'd won and we'd had to face them, is that how that works?
Yes,
I think that's how that works.
Yeah, that would have been scary.
That would have been a grudge match. And we watched Glow season 2.
We did, of course. Yes,
obviously, because we were reviewing it.
Yes,
I may say, oh, we watched yesterday.
I thought this episode, they had this like amazing thing happen. I'm not going to say any spoilers, but then from there, it's kind of gone a bit kind of tame.
I know what you mean, but I think that's the way it goes with the show. I've just started to get used to it now.
you've
done that before.
Yeah, something good happens and then they take it back from you and you're like, oh, okay.
It's like you were saying, it's the book is based on her perspective, right?
Yes.
So obviously in the book, there's no sort of larger view of the world. It's just the very focused view of her and that family.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do get a couple of glimpses of the wider world in the show. And I find that quite good. But then I don't mind it going back a little bit. I feel like things are moving on. It's not very quick. It's not very quick and exciting, maybe. But I feel like there was development there. So I was happy with it.
Indeed. And we did watch a film, actually. Thank you for Marcus for recommending it. We watched Walk the Line.
We did.
What did you think? Oh, I really enjoyed it. I thought the two leads were amazing. The music was great. But yeah, he had troubles. I mean, and his relationship with his father was crazy.
Yeah, I had no idea it was that bad. But I mean, you listen to the music and you kind of think, okay, maybe. I had no idea it was that bad. And it's kind of sad that a lot of our most talented people tend to be
troubled,
somewhat,
tortured souls.
This is a good way to put it. Yeah,
very sad. I mean, though, it was horrible though, because that opening, like, I turned around to you, didn't I, and I was like, something's gonna happen to the brother. I don't like this. And from there on out, I think that was it for his relationship with his father, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, he seemed to blame him.
Yeah,
which is sad. Why would you blame a child
when he probably should have been there, right?
And so Johnny obviously blamed his dad for not being there as well. So there was like a dual tension.
But it was really sad at that. They had a dinner, didn't they? And the dad turned around and he was like, the first thing he said to him was, "Where have you been? Where have you been?" sort of thing.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, and then Johnny turned around to him when he was older and said, "Where have you been? Where were you?" sort of thing. So it was a very powerful and very strong film, I thought.
Very powerful. Yeah, interesting to hear their story, really. It's interesting, like, he ended up with June.
Yes, yeah. I mean, how many times did he ask her to marry him?
Yeah.
I would have been like, shut up by the end of it.
But she went with it in the end. Yeah. So there was obviously something there. And
it didn't help that he asked when they were performing on stage in front of loads of people.
I think that's really bad, actually. Yeah. I don't like that kind of thing. It's manipulative, because there's only a certain amount of things that you can say, you know, in that kind of situation. Yeah. But you can resolve it after. But apparently he suffered with amphetamine abuse for the rest of his life, really.
And
kept chucking him down the toilet and stuff like that, apparently. Hmm. And you know that house they bought?
Yes.
That was later bought by a guy from the Bee Gees.
Oh, really?
And then it burned down.
What?
Yeah.
How do you know this kind of stuff? That's Wikipedia so random. Okay.
Because I was interested after watching your interest is like definitely. How much of this is true and how much of it is kind of, you know, artistic license and stuff like that. Indeed. So, yeah.
I've been carrying on with Lucifer.
Okay.
I think I've nearly finished the series and I don't want it to end. You know, when you kind of get towards the last couple of episodes. Yeah, yeah. Because it's just been that sort of thing I watch in the morning and, you know, you kind of have a routine. I know you don't like the word routine, but it kind of, it sets me up for the day. I watch Lucifer, I'm quite cheery, but then I go to work sort of thing. And it's getting really good and something really upsetting just happened and I'm like, no! So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the word routine, but I just feel like routines
trapping.
Are a way to avoid living.
Okay, you interesting. Know? Yep.
Just a thought.
Okay.
Okay.
Listening. Have you been listening to anything? I have listened to the Jack Clance latest episode and also So I Married a Movie Geek.
Okay. I also listened to Jack Clance. Yes. That was pretty good.
Very, very funny.
And also just like YouTube-y stuff. So YouTube-y stuff.
Ivan on Tech. Yes.
Yeah, cryptocurrency stuff. And also...
Yawn.
Neil deGrasse Tyson today. I've been watching a lot of him on YouTube.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's so good. He's so
amazing.
Enigmatic.
Yes.
And he's so excited about everything he talks about. And he talks about some great stuff. It's really educational and interesting. So yeah, just halfway through a Joe Rogan podcast with him.
Nice. And it sounds like you're going to be checking out another podcast by the sounds of it. Is there not a certain cast member in Glow that has a podcast?
Yes.
But we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. Yes. Sure. Good. I think that's most things.
Yep. Yeah. So that's pretty much everything, I think. So should we get on to the Glow review?
Look, I know this is going to be hard. But I believe in miracles, and we are going to make this miracle happen.
We are the gorgeous ladies of wrestling!
So Glow Season 2 hit Netflix a couple of weeks ago and we have smashed right through it. I mean, it's so sort of...
Moorish.
Yes. You keep bringing up that word Moorish like a biscuit. But if you have not heard of Glow before, it's basically a look at the personal and professional lives of a group of women who perform for a wrestling organization in Los Angeles. So it's sort of based on a true story and it's the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Yay!
So this is obviously a season two. So if you haven't seen the first series, there will probably be spoilers. So, but if you haven't seen it, I would really, really highly recommend seeing it. It's one of my favorite shows on Netflix. So please do go and check it out if you haven't yet.
Yes.
So let's crack on with a little bit about the show. So this series, it was basically a 10 episode run and they're 30 minutes long, which is super duper nice, isn't it?
It's very nice. Yeah. Yes. I really appreciate the lower time period.
Yes.
And also it's not a huge amount of episodes either, and then you kind of feel like you're left wanting more, which is good as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely set things up for series three, didn't it? I mean, yeah. Very exciting. So the creators of the show, so you've got Liz and Carly, they've actually gone on to write Captain Marvel, so that's pretty exciting, shall we say. Yes. So let's crack on with the performances.
Hold on a second, Nicola. Can I give you some trivia?
If you want to give me some trivia,
Can I give you some trivia?
Go for it.
Okay, I just found some trivia on IMDb.
So. You found a little bit and then you couldn't stop reading it.
I found it really interesting. So seems like most of the characters in Glow are loosely based on the original 80s wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. And so I can give you all their names.
Oh, okay.
So Beirut the Mad Bomber is based on Palestina. Britannica is based on Zelda the Brain and Godiva.
What?
I don't know how that works.
Okay.
Zoya the Destroyer is based on Colonel Nino Chaka.
Okay, I'm going to go with that.
The Beatdown Biddies are based on the Housewives, Arlene and Phyllis. Season 2's Ozone and Nuke, the Toxic Twins, are based on Chainsaw and Spike, the Heavy Metal Sisters. I love these names.
Where do they get these from?
Melrose is based on Hollywood. Liberty Bell is based on Americana and Scarlet. And Tara, the Southern Bells. I guess there must have been a group of them.
Yeah.
Machu Picchu is based on Mountain Fiji.
Nice.
And Black Magic is loosely based on the original Glow wrestler, Big Bad Mama.
Okay.
Have a little bit more hair.
Okay.
not done yet. Hold on. Welfare Queen, played by Kia Stevens, is the only female cast member who's actually a professional wrestler.
In this Glow show.
Right. Yeah. She's been a champion all over the world, wrestling under the name of Awesome Kong.
Wow.
And also briefly wrestled in the WWE as Karma.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Big league then. Fair play.
Big leagues.
Yeah.
The owner of Glow, Ursula Hayden, was in Glow in the 1980s as Babe. She was the farmer's daughter, apparently.
Okay.
She's also a story consultant for the series.
That's nice. Pretty cool. Yeah.
It makes it more authentic. It's actually a person from the time, I think. Sebastian Howard is loosely based on David McLean, the founder of the original Glow, which makes sense, I suppose.
Yes.
Sam Sylvia is loosely based on Matt Kimber, the original Glow director, and Mark Maron, who plays the manager Sam Sylvia, is a well-known comedian with several stand-up specials, a filmmaker himself, and perhaps best known for his acclaimed podcast, WTF with Mark Maron.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Which was ranked as the number one podcast as iTunes for several years running.
Wow, I did not know that. And that is probably the one you're going to be checking out soon.
Definitely got to listen to that one, I think, because he's an interesting character.
Yeah, definitely.
What that's all about.
So performances?
Performances. Go for it.
Right. So we got so many. So we got, I'll just list them super, super quickly because I feel like they deserve some credit because they're great cast. So we've got Alison Brie as Ruth / Sawyer, the Destroyer. Betty Gilpin as Liberty Bell. Sidhal Noel as Black Magic, who was also in Black Panther. Interesting enough, stunt lady. We've got Brittany Young as Carmen Wayne / Machu Picchu. We've got Kate Nash as Britannica. We've got Gail Rankin as Sheila the She-Wolf. Kia Stevens as a Welfare Queen. We've got Sunny Tamani, who's also been a Mr. Robot, if you noticed.
Yes, true.
As Beirut the Mad Bomber, super politically correct.
I love it. So good.
We've got Ellen Wong as Fortune Cookie. Again, pretty bad. Mariana Palka as Vicky the Viking. And we've also got the Beatdown Biddies. And then the men of the show, we've got Chris Lowell as Bash. He's actually very sweet. He kind of reminds me of, is there a Bash in Bambi? Bashful? I don't know, something like that. Anyway, Mark Moran as Sam Sylvia as well. So, should we go and talk through our favourites then, Chris?
Definitely. Let's do it. I love Alison Brie as Zoya the Destroyer.
Zoya the Destroyer! Yeah.
She's great. I really like that. And her battle with Liberty Bell.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Ouch, should I just say.
Yeah. I quite like the idea of Beirut the Mad Bomber, and Fortune Cookie. I like that they're a little bit less PC. I think that's cool. I mean, I guess you can get away with that because it's like based on an older thing, right?
It was the 80s. There was a lot of drugs, right?
Yeah, and I really liked the guys as well.
Yeah.
Bash Howard and Sam Sylvia, they were cool characters. So yeah. What do you think?
I think Alison Brie as Zoya the Destroyer was probably the standout. I mean, she's the one you kind of follow on the journey, really, to be honest.
She's kind of the main, she's the main protagonist, I guess.
And I just thought she was like genuinely like super believable. I mean, her relationship with Liberty Bell is a bit strange, but there were moments when they like were screaming at each other and it actually felt real and
definitely
believable and stuff. And I really enjoyed that. And I think all of them across the board are like, when they're together, are amazing because it genuinely feels like they all really love each other and they love spending time with each other, even though some of them argue with each other, which is quite funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just like soapy kind of drama, is it? It feels real.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah.
It's honest and true.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's quite a feel-good sort of TV show because it's not all sort of... I mean, there are some troubles in it, but it's like they love what they're doing. They're really enjoying it. I mean, they come up with these amazing storylines and...
You're right. They're growing as people as well. Yeah. They're growing as characters and you kind of buy their progression, which is cool. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, and there's sort of some like character of the week sort of thing going on. You had Welfare Queen. You had her going to see her son in Stamford. That was quite interesting.
That was a good episode.
But there's also some like sort of overarching storylines going on because you had Sam Sylvia, like his father-daughter relationship with his newly discovered daughter, them living together. I really enjoyed that relationship. I thought that was great.
Yep.
And then there's this weird sort of love triangle going on as well at the same time. Very, very bizarre. But I think the one I like enjoyed the most, sort of the overarching storyline about them, the show might be cancelled. So they're all trying to up their game and they're all teaching themselves like new moves and things. And it, I just really love him as a whole, I think. But I think, yeah, my favourite is Sam Sylvia. I think he's such a lovable, grumpy old man sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I really like how he progressed through the season. There was a lot on him, actually.
Yeah, definitely. His arc was great. Yeah.
With his daughter and Ruth as well.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the fact that he's like this quite big horror director, and now he's like kind of washed up directing like wrestling and...
Washed up, not in inverted commas, you know. Yeah. It's like he feels washed up, but actually this could be good.
Yeah,
for him,
definitely,
know?
Definitely. And I just love the fact that he comes across so grumpy and that he hates everyone, but once you kind of chip down those layers, he's actually quite like insecure, but quite a nice guy, actually, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah, it's like a facade, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's an angry kind of don't talk to me facade, but
yes,
at the core, he's quite nice, and he's trying to open up to people, and yeah,
definitely. So, story. What did you think of the second series story then, Chris?
Debbie's evolving character regarding her anger with Ruth is interesting.
Okay.
So they're like old best friends, but then Ruth cheated? Yeah, I guess.
Kind of, yeah.
Her husband cheated with Ruth, and now there's a whole situation. And
yes, a little bit.
Debbie's kind of trying to destroy her life a little bit.
Yeah.
Because she feels
that
like
Debbie.
It's retribution, you know, but fair enough. But at some point, they kind of, there's a sort of truce almost, isn't there? They don't speak it out loud, but I think they're kind of agreeing that things weren't great before now.
No.
And they're growing and they're getting over it. Maybe reforging some, maybe that's too early to say,
yeah,
but
maybe.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find like Bash is quite hilarious.
Yes.
But I didn't really get his like real life storyline.
No.
Actually.
Who
it
was that?
Kind of confused me a little bit because I wasn't quite sure
who the person he was
on.
Looking for was. Yeah. I feel like we need to go back to the first series maybe. And I also like the sort of funny part of this storyline with like their ratings were growing. They started getting some fans, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
And they kind of became sort of local celebrities in a way.
Yeah.
And when they kind of got out from the stage, there were like their fans there waiting for them. And then She-Wolf had some very interesting fans, didn't she?
Yeah. Yes, everyone's sort of dressing up like her and, yeah, wolves, you know. She's got her own pack now, I guess.
Yes. So what would you say your favourite episode was of this series then, Chris?
Oh, I really like the last one, actually.
Yeah,
I think the last
definitely.
One was probably a winner for me. I don't know if that's just because it's the last one I watched. But, yeah, I found it really quite engaging.
Endearing. Engaging, okay.
Engaging.
Yeah.
I mean, I found them all engaging, but... This even more so, I found myself getting engaged with even the wrestling part of it, which I'm not
right.
a huge wrestling fan, but this is kind of drawing me in, you know?
Oh.
I feel like it makes more sense to me with all the backstory. Like, I can't just watch a wrestling match and be... I guess there is a whole lot of drama on a wrestling
yes.
thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
But with this, I kind of feel like you get the human side of it as well, and that really draws you in. And then it's... But actually, that last kind of wrestling match that they did was quite impressive, actually.
It was, yeah. Some of the actual...
choreography and the stunts and stuff
was really impressive. I really enjoyed how they had this sort of storyline going on in between all the different wrestling shows as well. There was one scene where Zoya stole Liberty Bell's daughter.
Yeah.
And then there was this whole storyline and...
Something like Scarlet or... Rose. Something Rose.
Scarlet Rose.
Scarlet Rose. Not Scarlet Rose. Something Rose.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right.
Okay.
For me, I really enjoyed episode 8, so the good twin. I thought
that was the one that was really weird.
Yeah, it was bonkers, but it was interesting because it was an actual episode of Glow. So you were actually watching what they were broadcasting, right? So it was like the storylines behind them and then the actual wrestling match. And it was about Sawyer's like good twin and trying to find the child and give it back to her. I really enjoyed it. It kind of felt like, I don't know, just like an actual 80s show when you were watching it.
Yeah, maybe. I think that was one of the weaker ones for me.
Oh, really?
Just because it didn't show both sides. It was like, it was very one-sided. So
Yeah,
I like to get the truth.
Right.
The truth behind the story.
Okay. Right, interesting. So let's go on to visual
rubbish.
And everything else.
Yeah, visual cinematography. I love the retro style or the neons.
Yes,
you know,
amazing.
That kind of VHS editing yes. style where there's just neons going across the screen.
Everything flies in.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, just really nice cinematography. Sets, costume, color grading. Sold me on the time period completely.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? I was in.
Yeah. There was one scene where Bash and the lady who plays Liberty Bell, they went to like this convention for TV things, and just seeing like that giant phone with the antennae and then the hair and like Bash's hair was it an antenna. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
There's only one of them, right?
Right. Okay. Sorry. but yeah, Bash's hair was pretty insane at times. And then you had the blazers and it just all looked amazing.
Yes, it does. It's a great looking show.
It's one of those shows where you actually feel like you're sort of immersed in the 80s. Definitely. And I was thinking, I missed the 80s. I didn't even live in the 80s. And I'm like, I wanted to live in the 91. 80s. I know. It's so sad. I mean, you briefly had about 3 years in the 80s, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. That is true, actually. Like, I love lots of 80s films and stuff. I love 70s films. Some of them. One of them. Two of them? One. Anyway. Yeah, I think growing up in the 90s, you're exposed to that stuff because your parents are watching it and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm. And soundtrack go along with it. It was amazing. I mean, they had like, you can't remember it, can you?
I remember there was old songs.
Well, can you not remember like the last scene?
I feel like it was good, but I just don't. Yeah. I can never remember like the sound.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, okay.
I need to watch it again.
It was a great moment.
Yeah, I feel like it was. I remember that it was a good moment. I just don't
remember. Anyway, the soundtrack consisted of people, acts such as, we had Billy Joel, Run DMC, Aretha Franklin, Dawa Hall and John Oates. We had Human League, Madonna, Starship. It was amazing. It was just like a real sort of trip down like 80s memory lane, even though I've never lived it.
I do feel like soundtrack is the most important part though. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like visuals can be... Yeah, I know. It's weird. Like I feel it at the time.
So I think that pretty much rounds it off. So... how would you rate this? And would you recommend then, Chris?
I'll give it 2 thumbs up. Seemed to get better second season, mm-hmm. I felt. But maybe that's just because I enjoyed it and it's new. Yeah, and because I started to enjoy the wrestling a little bit more, I felt like it was better choreographed and stuff. And they're actually progressing and becoming better at their roles. And I'm like rooting for them and stuff. And it's feeling good. I'm really into it. I'm looking for more.
So, I thought it was great. I mean, do you not remember when you were kids and you watched wrestling and then you try and do wrestling yourself? And did you never do that?
I was watching Star Trek.
Oh dear,
that's one of those kids, right?
I mean, who was it that was quite big when you were around when you were a kid?
What, wrestling wise?
Yeah,
I remember like Hardy Boys and Chris Jericho was interesting to me for a while. Yeah. I think H is that a guy.
I don't know. I think for me it was like the Rock.
Rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was getting there. sure.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just when you were a kid, it was just so much fun. I mean, you knew it was fake pretty much, didn't you?
When
they got the chairs out and they were like banging each other with the chairs and stuff, but it was just great fun. And I feel like this show really like emulates that, and you kind of feel that kind of experience again.
I struggle with things that I find dishonest.
Right.
And it just kind of feels a bit soapy to me when I watch those.
Right, but this is soapy though, Glow. It has its own storylines and the battles and things.
Yeah, but you see the real side of it, right? That's what I like.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, I think it works really nicely. I like it.
Okay. Yeah, for me, I think this is the best sort of character-driven Netflix show on at the moment.
Okay.
And possibly ever. Orange is the New Black. It kind of comes comparison to there, I think, for
it's
like
better.
Characters.
I think it's better than that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
More interesting to me anyway.
Right.
Maybe.
I love the fact that it's like, it is actual period and like you get the 80s stuff with it, the amazing soundtrack and the look and things. So that's probably why you enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, visuals and stuff. Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, the cast is hard to beat. I mean, because Orange is the New Black, some of them you don't actually like, but with this, it's hard not to like everybody.
Agreed. It's quite a positive outlook, really.
Yeah.
You know, even though they're going through hard times, you're kind of with them and you're growing with them. And it's quite a nice feeling.
And they're kind of going through it together as well, which is really... Well, it helps that they all kind of live together and that they have this awful breakfast every morning. Or was it a muffin he gives them or something?
or something, wasn't it? The muffin man.
It's great. But yeah, would you recommend Glow Season 2?
I would recommend it. I mean, you don't have to love wrestling. You just have to... I mean, if you're a visual person and you enjoy all that kind of cinematography and just well-made content,
okay.
I guess,
yes.
Then I think you should give it a go. You might like it. Yeah.
Fair Planet. I would also highly recommend this because I really, really enjoyed it. And please do go and check it out.
Did you give it a rating?
I don't know. Well, anyway, two big thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up, guys.
Yeah. Woo! Great. Woo. So this week we're joined by special guest David Finch, who's a very well-known comic book artist who's previously worked for DC and Marvel and other comic book titles. We'll give them their fair dues. But he's probably most well-known for Moon Knight and also some of his work on Batman, so the Tom King run. So that's pretty cool. So we recorded this at MCM Birmingham and I completely forgot about this. I was like, how could I? And then I found it the other day and I was like, I need to put this in the podcast. So if you're a huge comic book fan, please do listen, especially Moonlight fans. Very, very good. So please do enjoy.
Ooh. I guess kicking off with an obvious question to start with. How have you been enjoying yourself and what's the experience of Comic Cons like for you?
Well, I've really been enjoying this one. I came with my son, actually. My wife didn't want to come. She's busy with so much stuff at home that she couldn't get away. So, this has been great. We went to Birmingham yesterday, and I saw the art gallery, all the pre-Raphaelites. I saw a Bergerot painting right in front of me. That was pretty amazing. So, it's been a good experience so far. And the show has been great. It's a big show. It's a big turnout. Everybody's been enthusiastic. So, I'm glad I came.
Obviously, when you're at shows like this, meeting fans is a big part of the experience for fans and for you, I'd imagine. I'm curious, of all the amazing series you've worked on, all the great characters whose stories you've been a part of, what are the most common ones that fans want to chat about, and what do they ask about when they get to meet you at places like this?
Well, Batman's a big one, for sure. Yeah. I think Tom King, that I did Batman with, he's been taking off in such a big way. People want to hear what it's like working with him. And Jeff Johns, I did a book called Forever Evil with him, and people want to know what he's like and, you know, how he is to work with. That's, I would say, the questions that I get the most, aside from questions just about my own artwork, are, you know, writers that people are big fans of. They want to know, you know, what's it like working with him? What's, you know, what goes on in their head?
Seeing as how it's what people are always asking you, we should probably ask you now. Can you talk about that Batman collaboration in particular and again, just, you know, how much of a joy it is for you as a creator?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was, I didn't know what to expect going into it. I was actually not familiar with Tom King's writing when I first started. So I read a bunch of his stuff he had done. The Vision was still coming out from Marvel, and it was getting a lot of attention. And I kind of live under a rock sometimes, you know, when it comes to new things coming out. So I went and bought those, and it's just really smart. I want to say emotionally deep. It sounds so, but it really was. It was just incredible stuff. And the Batman thing that he did, I wasn't sure what to expect. I thought it might be a little bit more slow paced like that, but he really geared it toward my strengths. Something he's great with, and. So, you know, I had Batman on the back of an airplane trying to stop it from crashing into Gotham City. So I'd never drawn anything like that. So it was a challenge. It was great. He really, he was good at bringing me out of my comfort zone, but keeping me in a place where I could do my best work. A
few questions and that's all right, Dave. Still staying with Tom King. Now, I think Tom King's one of these artists, one of these writers, sorry, who does work with an artist's strengths. But what were some of those challenges? Because I think he's very great with street-level relationships, if you see what I mean. He seems to be building in Batman, like in The Vision, the sort of relationship we can all relate to, whether you're a billionaire or whether you're a robot. And so I'm wondering how maybe it challenged you as an artist to get you out of that comfort zone, those quieter moments.
Yeah, you know, I've done work with writers before, like Brian Bendis is phenomenal at character writing. And it just, with Bendis, it felt so natural just doing that stuff because he's so good at dialogue and describing emotion. The characters just felt real for me. And Tom really, I think, has that same, he's a very different kind of writer, really. It's more fast-paced and, I'm not qualified to describe the difference between writers, but you know they both have that quality of you know, great characterization. And I think with Bendis, it was my first time really working with a writer that did that to that extent. So it was a real learning curve for me. And with Tom, it was kind of similar. I wanted to try and take it to the next level. I really wanted to make my characters as individual as possible. I tend to draw the same face a lot, and I wanted to try and get away from that as much as I could.
Gotham Girl worked, I felt.
Well, thank you.
I really
thank
did. That's sort of a really emotional character.
Thank you. I was, you know, I was looking at Tangled. That you remember the Tangled movie, and I love the girl in that movie. So I was using a lot of that and trying to be, you know, influenced by like a little more animation, and you know, I love the overacting when it's done well. You know, I tend to be a little more staid with my emotion. I'm not good at it, is what I'm trying to say. So I tried very, very hard with Batman to, you know, it's Batman. It's, you know, it's a character that's natural for me because he always just scowls. But I didn't want to just do that because Tom just brought so much more to it. I wanted to try as much as I could to compliment his writing on it.
And one more question before I let other people, because I'm aware that I'm monopolizing. No-brainer, really. How do you feel about Bendis coming to DC?
I'm absolutely thrilled. I can't wait to see some of the stuff he's going to do. I've been a huge Bendis fan for years and years, and it's, you know, stunning that they managed to get him to come over. DC has such great characters, and I think it's time. You know, Bendis on Superman. You know, if anybody could make Superman, because Superman's great, he's iconic, but it's been tough to make him a really top seller, you know? And I think Bendis is going to do that. I think he's going to pull it off.
Thank you for now, Dave.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite character yourself from your body of work?
Well, Batman, of course. You know, Moon Knight, I love. When I first took on Moon Knight, I did it actually because I was under contract with Marvel and I really wanted to do Batman, truthfully. You know, I wasn't really that familiar, but by the end of it, I was a huge Moon Knight fan and I miss Moon Knight all the time. Wolverine over at Marvel, I'm a big fan of. Really, any character that is, you know, angry and scowls a lot, pretty much. If I can draw them in the rain, you know. Yeah. Like, I would love to do the Hulk, except that the Hulk is Bruce Banner so often. It's tough, you know? I love Lobo. All the old Simon Bisley Lobo stuff. I don't know if you remember that stuff, but yeah, I'm a huge Simon Bisley fan, so I'd love to do a Lobo book someday. I actually, the whole time I was at DC, I kept mentioning that, but it's a tough sell, you know?
Any further development on the Moon Knight film? Because I know James Gunn tweeted about a year ago that he was pitching that to Marvel, wasn't he?
Oh, really? Well, I'm not in the loop on that one. Okay. I don't know. I didn't even know that. I'd be thrilled to see it, you know? And hopefully it looks exactly like my Moon Knight. Yeah. That would be nice. Probably not, but it would be cool.
I mean, talking about selling, I think obviously you mentioned that it's an interesting time, I guess, for comics. They're becoming even more part of our genre in other medium. But then there's always the question about sales, and particularly you mentioned, you know, even iconic characters like Superman, how you continue to make those relevant and how you keep them selling to the same level that they're expected to. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the business side of the industry and how you see that changing, how optimistic you are about that?
Well, comics are the influence, the cultural influence that we have, that comics have, you know, is so far beyond what it was when I first got into comics. It was just comic books, you know, which we had a decent audience, but it was very underground. Whereas now it's become mainstream in a way that I never expected to see. It's incredible. On the other hand, the actual comic sales are pretty much what they have always been. You know, the people that read the books, it's a different audience than it's, you know, there's a lot of crossover in the audience, but the people that actually specifically read the books are different than the people that just want to go see the movies. And we haven't really been able to grow in a way that I thought maybe we would. I thought, you know, all these people watching the movies would flood into comics, and it hasn't happened that way. But we've had, I think, a strong core audience that hasn't gone away and has been pretty loyal to us. And you know, I think our way of maintaining that audience is to just reboot every 2 years. It seems like what we do. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm not a businessman. And there's so many ideas people have come up with. I thought, wow, this is going to fail. There's no way it's going to work. And it's huge. And other things, I think, oh, this is a great idea. How could it fail? And so, yeah, I don't know. I just draw the pictures.
I mean, you mentioned that word loyalty. I think also, particularly in the cinematic landscape, we see this kind of rivalry or perceived rivalry between the different studios. And I'm curious, as a creator and in the comic industry, as someone who's jumped back and forth between different places throughout your career, if that's a real thing or if that's just something that, you know, that exists within the fan community.
I'd say it's a real thing and it's not at the same time, you know, which when I first got to Marvel, my first editor was Mike Martz. And when I first got to DC, my first editor there was also Mike Martz. So, and, you know, we're all comic fans and we're all, I mean, it's, we're all so similar. And, you know, comic fans just in general, and we're a pretty polite group. So I would say that, yeah, it's not really, you know, for professionals and for editors, there's not really that schism where we, you know, have like opposing teams. But at the same time, you know, there is a lot of competition, and you know, on a publishing level, certainly there's a history of animosity at times.
What are you reading at the moment? Are you reading any?
I'm reading Preacher again, actually, right now. That's actually what I've been reading.
Any reason why you might be reading Preacher again? Is there anything you might be working on?
Actually, no, no.
Right, so it's just for enjoyment.
I had a dinner last year with Garth Ennis, and we were talking for quite a while, and it was making me think about it. And I've got the huge collection at home, and I loved it, so it just got me reading it again. The Greg Capullo, Scott Snyder Batman, I keep reading constantly because I follow artists. I really don't follow writers. So, you know, for me, it's I open a book because I love the artwork, and I find something, like Greg Capullo is such a great storyteller that I find myself reading it. Next thing you know, I'm reading, you know, like half the run. It happens to me all the time. And other artists I love just for, you know, individual images. Yeah, so yeah, it depends. But usually when I start reading a comic, it's just on a whim. I don't really look for comics. Like I don't really go to the comic store and buy comics to read enough. I should more. You know, when I first got into this, I was everything that I bought, I was such a huge fan of, like all the early Image stuff that was totally unreadable. I'd love that stuff. You know, so yeah, I miss that a little bit. And I think probably more than anything, what I'm reading right now is all of Meredith, my wife, her stuff. I read all of it. Just, you know, she just wants a second ear before she turns it in, so I'm reading that stuff.
Tomorrow's the book.
Yeah.
Because when you're at events like this, I'm sure one of the most common things people ask you is advice. People who want to follow in your footsteps, both as storytellers and as illustrators. Do you have bits of advice that you would offer to people who want to, particularly working, I guess, for the major studios rather than just working on their own thing?
Well, certainly working for the major studios is the most important. Well, really, the most important piece of advice is meet a deadline if you agree to a deadline, because that will kill your career faster than anything, just blowing a deadline and leaving an editor in the lurch. They never forget that. But as you know, aside from professionalism, the most important thing is you can draw in just about any style, and they're actually, they look for inventive different styles. It's a nice thing to have. I mean, they also look for familiarity. But you need to make sure that if you're drawing Spider-Man, for instance, it looks and moves like Spider-Man, and a Spider-Man fan can open it up and say, okay, this is the Spider-Man that I know, or the Wolverine, or the, you know, Batman or Wonder Woman. That's what's important. No matter how different the styles are, it just needs to, it needs to be recognizable for fans as the characters.
I mean, when people show you their portfolios, what are the most common mistakes you think people make when they're putting together their portfolios? Is it too much of the same? Is it too much variety, not enough personality?
I would say the most common mistake, having 100 pages of material is not such a great thing, especially sometimes people come up and the first pages are pages they did years ago, and then it slowly comes to the newest stuff, and you really want to lead with the stuff that you're doing most recently, because people want to see what you're going to do, not what you did, you know, a few years ago. And then you need to have backgrounds, and they need to be varied. You need to show that you can draw cars and trees and interiors of apartments and make everything look like a, you know, a real place that, you know, has a personality. It's very, very important. It's not really the most important thing you can do as a comic artist is draw, you know, that great character and make them look iconic and interesting, but they need to have an environment that's believable, and a lot of times that can be very skated through, which
been signing here this weekend. Is there anything, maybe older works, that surprises you that people bring in to sign?
Yeah, you know, I did a Soul Saga cover it was a Stephen Platt book, and it was a painting that I was trying to do like a Drew Struzan style. kind of worked. Anyway, I haven't seen that in 15 years. I couldn't believe it. I didn't think anybody had it. So yeah, I signed one of those today. That was a shock. Every once in a while, somebody will come up with it. I did Cyberforce years and years ago. This would have been, you know, 95, a long time ago. And so yeah, every time I see that, you know, it's always kind of refreshing.
So just a question that might interest you. So obviously Marvel's getting close to its 10-year anniversary in terms of doing from Iron Man onwards. Do you think post, you know, Infinity Wars that there's much of a place for comic films in the cinema, or do you think it's more getting to the fatigue?
Well, I certainly hope that we never get to a fatigue. I really do. I think Marvel's been incredibly good at putting out the Avengers and putting out Iron Man, but then putting out Black Panther, you know, which is such a different kind of a project, and then or Ant-Man again, mm-hmm. like such a totally different kind of project, where Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, it's I think it does it a bit of a disservice to just say that it's a comic film, because it really, they are so different. And you know, by the time the next Thor movie comes out, I know for me, I was thrilled. I was excited about it. I loved the movie. It was, you know, it helps that they're great movies. But yeah, they really have been changing it up. They don't just go with the obvious choices. So, you know, and DC's actually had a pretty good amount of success just doing different kinds of projects. So there is a point, I'm sure, at some point we'll hit comic fatigue. And, you know, I mean, Westerns didn't last forever. But I certainly have my fingers crossed that we'll be around for a long time.
I think obviously with Black Panther, there's been a lot of talk about how wonderful that is in terms of a watershed moment. But in a comic landscape, there's also been the other side of that coin, which is that there's been a lot of commentary about how attempts to over-politicize certain particularly established characters have maybe turned audiences off and comic fans off. And I guess, I mean, just in a general sense, how do you feel about that? Are comics entertainment and escapism, or do they need to reflect real-world politics and have those kind of messages as prominently as we're now seeing them, particularly in some of the Marvel characters?
Well, I think there's room for both. You know, I think that if a creator really has a political viewpoint that they want to get across, I mean, comics are a great venue for it. And we're not just a child's medium, I think, really. We are also a child's medium. It's not really what... So, yeah, I think that it does that very, very well. And I think it's maybe a little unfair to just say that, you know, comics are too political, when there's so many comics that aren't political, if that's your choice, and there are comics that are. I think there's something for everyone.
Couple of questions about Wonder Woman. What differences does it make working with your wife as a collaborator as opposed to someone like Tom King, let's say?
You know, it's fairly similar, really. I think the biggest difference is that because we're in the same house, I was laying out pages with her. We would just go to the coffee shop and I'd lay out a few pages, and so she could write a little bit more loosely, and then we could just talk about the way that I'm going to approach it. Whereas with a writer that I'm not, you know, in the house with,
yeah.
I tend to get a more tight script, and I try and stick a little bit more closely to it just to make sure that, you know, it gets across properly. I'd say that's the biggest difference. We had a few fights about it here and there, but I mean, you know, we're still married, and, you know, fights with the other writers I've worked with too. We still work together. So yeah, it's really not so different.
I mean, you had a great responsibility for bringing Donna Troy back into the DCU. What was your reaction to having that responsibility, and obviously your wife's reaction, but also what was the fans' reaction as well, because she was much lamented until she finally arrived on the scene?
Well, I didn't really have a reaction, to be totally honest. I've killed so many characters and brought so many characters back. I've done this for so long. But for Meredith, I know it was a big deal, and she put a lot of thought into trying to bring her back in a way that was complimentary and also kind of tragic, because, you know, bringing a character in, and I'm not a writer, I'm killing this answer right now.
I wish she was here for this one. Might be an even difficult question.
It was a big deal for her. She was thrilled, and it seemed like the fan reaction was fairly positive. It's impossible to do anything like that and have 100% positive reaction. And, you know, I tried to prepare Meredith for the fact that, yeah, there's no way you're going to please everybody with any of this stuff. And if you try, you'll end up with something that's very trite and not good. So, you know, you really have to have the guts to be willing to take the risk of having people angry. And I think that, you know, it went over pretty well, actually. So.
Sorry. Going back to Moon Knight, there has been rumours about a film or a Netflix TV show. Who do you think would be a good choice of character? Well, choice of actor. Because they're like Keanu Reeves. That's been a big thing people have suggested.
Okay, I'm going to first of all just say Vin Diesel because he's my first choice of actor for everything.
Even Mary Poppins remake.
Yep, Vin Diesel.
He did the babysitter though, didn't he?
Pacifier. But yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it would need to be somebody that could really. Scowl, yeah, and just, you know, I don't know, maybe Jason Statham. You know, he'd be pretty good. Who do you think?
I think Jake Gyllenhaal would be quite good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he did a boxing movie he was in pretty good shape for.
Yeah.
Okay, I could go with that.
All right. I want to know what Dave's working on. No one's actually asked what Dave's working on yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've gone conspicuously quiet at DC since Batman, I think.
I'm working on an Image comic right now with a writer that I'm thrilled about and I can't say, which is killing me. But he's a big writer that, you know, I had wanted to work with for a long, long time. And, you know, it came up. I couldn't say no. So I'll be finished by the end of the year. It'll be out shortly before that. It's all one book. Large format. I'm drawing the pages at a larger size myself. I'm inking it myself, so it's taken forever to do. So yeah, about 100 pages, all one book. Large format, eventually.
So it's brilliant.
I sure hope so. Well, I think it's a brilliant story. It really is. It's you know, it's a great writer. I mean, you know, all the pieces are there for it to be a great book. So if it doesn't do well, I blame myself.
Hulk topic time. So we asked you guys on Twitter, because we're reviewing Glow series 2, I said that right this time, hooray, we'd like to know what your favourite retro properties are. So this is like films, TV, books, anything like that, that's kind of, I guess, retrospectively talking about the past.
It's got the feel and the style. Asking, but yes,
okay.
I think retro can mean like something that's originally from some time before when you're talking about it.
Okay.
Which could mean anything that exists.
Right.
But probably means things like early 90s and before, right?
Yes. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
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 So have you got, what do you got? What do you got for me?
Okay, so I've got a couple actually. So films, I've got very sort of 80s vibe going on through these.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta say, if you've listened to our Glow review, you know that I love the 80s, but I didn't experience the 80s.
Right.
So I like to live vicariously through them.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
so for my first pick, I've gone for The Guest. So that features Dan Stevens.
Yes.
So this was amazing. If you haven't watched it, it's like a B movie horror.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
it's kind of dark. It's a bit dark.
Yeah, it's kind of dark, but it's cool. Very interesting. You get like neon things and the great soundtrack. And yeah, Dan Stevens is amazing. You've never seen him like this before, right? Maybe if you've watched Legion, but not this bad. So yeah, very, very interesting film. Next up, in probably one of the best ones retrospectively, is Drive. So this is Ryan Reynolds, of course. Amazing soundtrack, the classic cars going on. Is it suede? You know, the jacket he's got with the scorpion on the back. And then the gloves and stuff. It's just amazing. Yeah, great, great film. Very horrific in times.
Don't think I've seen it properly, to be honest.
Really? I'm sure you watched Drive before.
Yeah, I watched it. I was probably sleeping.
Shame on you.
Sorry.
It's a great, great film. Next up, we've got The Nice Guys. Woo! So Ryan Reynolds again, and we've also got Russell Crowe. Amazing film. If you haven't checked this out yet, it is on Netflix, so do go and watch it. But it's very, very funny. Is it 70s like vibe, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's
a very brown vibe.
Yeah, definitely. And it's got the sort of you know, like the logo's got those crazy colours and stuff. Yeah, it's just great. I mean, the costumes are amazing. They have these parties which are like crazy. They've got the great cars as well. Yeah, it's just great. And then they're private detectives, aren't they? Both of them, sort of thing. And it's just a hilarious storyline. And Ryan Reynolds is fantastic. And him with Russell Crowe. I never would have thought those two teaming up would be so good, but it was. Who knew?
I think because it's because they're so different that
yeah.
it kind of works.
Yeah, yeah, true.
The buddy cop. Is yeah. that kind of what it is, really? It's kind of
yeah,
like a buddy
cop.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Next up is Sing Street.
Really? Which one's that one? That was the animated one, wasn't it?
No. What are you thinking about? What are you? I think I know what.
Oh, Sing Street with the band.
Yeah, in Ireland. Okay. What were you thinking? Sing.
Sing something.
Sing. It's just Sing. Directed by John Carney. He's done Begin Again and Once. So big musical sort of guy. Very, very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It was good.
Yeah, so it was basically about in the 80s in Ireland, and this guy and his friends started yeah. a band.
Struggling for their identity.
Yes, yeah. And they went through lots of different phases, like Duran Duran phase. Yeah, and yeah. But the music was actually pretty good. I was quite impressed with it. And yeah. The storyline felt very genuine, and I really enjoyed that.
True.
And then next up, the last one for me was Super 8. So this was J.J. Abrams. And this was just like a huge homage to E.T., right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With that kind of vibe.
Yeah,
sure.
Definitely. I mean, I just love this film. It was great. I think possibly a little bit underrated. And I think I will have to revisit again soon.
Was E.T. filmed in Super 8?
I do not know. Maybe. For TV, I have put Strange Things, of course. How can you not when you're talking about retro, right? Yeah. This like embodies like 80s Dungeons and Dragons and stuff and horror, and there's just so many like references in it. It's just fantastic.
Yeah,
obviously Glow can't yeah. not talk about it and not sure. mention it, and also Dark. So this was the German one on Netflix, and this was about like the timey-wimey time travel stuff. So yeah, quite an in-depth sort of show. It kind of visited different times, which was interesting. But if you haven't checked it out, it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, is it coming back soon?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's a second series.
Okay, it'd be interesting to see, because like I can't say anything.
It's hard, isn't it, to not spoil anything.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because if they do a certain thing, then it's going to change things.
Yes. Okay.
Which is right. quite obvious now I say it out loud.
Okay, cryptic. Yeah. Book, I just remembered, Ready Player One.
Yes.
How could we not put that on our list, yeah. right? That is going to be the most jam-packed full of references I've ever read. Yeah. And then games, I've put Crash Bandicoot and then Pokemon for Game Boy.
Cool. Yeah, Pokemon as well. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always been there, but I think when you're a kid with your Game Boy Color.
Yeah, for sure. I put Kong Fury, so that's like a 2015 thing, but it's like retro style.
Yes.
Really fun and just out there.
Just crazy.
Just pretty crazy. Yeah. So it's kind of like a 1980s martial arts police action film. Yes. Homage type deal.
Martial arts police thing. Kind
and
of,
David
yeah.
Hasselhoff is in it.
Oh, really? So, yeah. I don't remember that. Okay.
It's just a cameo.
Right.
Tron Legacy. So Tron is
yes.
retro. And Tron Legacy is sort of in the kind of same retro style, maybe?
Yeah.
So that was good. I enjoyed that. I'm enjoying the music. Tomb Raider. Really like.
Oh, Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider is super
yeah.
like old school. But. Yeah, the recent reboot they did, I thought that was fantastic, and I want to see more of that. I really like that kind of adventure film, and I feel yes. that we haven't seen much of that
yeah.
for quite a while, really.
Since Indiana Jones, right?
Right, and Indiana Jones would be a great one to bring back as well.
Yes.
With Chris
Pratt. With Chris Pratt,
please.
Of course. Yeah, please don't keep doing them with...
Shia.
Yes.
PS1 games, kind of like a thing from my childhood.
Yeah.
PS1 was probably my first console. Yeah, I'd love to see another Crash Team Racing, you know, because that was a good game. That was something I enjoyed playing with my sister and my friends back in the day. So
oh, back
fun.
In the day.
But yeah, probably quite a lot of the ones you said as well, and probably quite a lot of ones everyone else says.
Nice. I was thinking about games the other day, well, earlier, wasn't I? And I was like, oh, San Andreas, that's got to be really old. 2004. I was like, oh, wow.
One thing you can be sure of is like Nintendo's.
Yeah, Nintendo 64, like, right? Like
so
GoldenEye, that's probably
yeah, I mean,
good.
Like Mario and stuff.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
definitely.
Like just, it keeps on existing.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't die.
Old, you know?
So we threw this out to you guys on social media, and we didn't have much time, so we've only got a couple of responses, but thank you very much for sending yours in. So I Am Jax Regular Irregular Musings at I Am Jax Musings said, one of my favourite films of all time is Back to the Future. There you go, Chris.
Great film.
So that has to be my pick. It's a film that is now retro in regards to two time periods, the 80s and the 50s. 50s.
Both great time periods, actually. I really loved like the cars and stuff from the 50s. You
know? Yes, and the milkshakes and the yeah. Yeah,
just the style, like yeah. The whole diners and everything. Just everything had style. Right?
Yeah, it was classier, right?
It was just better designed. Like, yeah. Now I feel like we focus more on efficiency and
yes.
And just end up with kind of boring looking stuff, whereas back then they just went for like what looked the coolest.
Yeah,
know,
I mean, cool. Like they had amazing dresses and they all dressed as been suits and things, right? Yeah it just looked nice. Pretty cool. Very yeah, nice. Definitely. So Nurse Chatting said, "LA Confidential is a superb film that perfectly captures a different time in the world where corruption was rife and nothing was what it seemed. If you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend it."
Thanks, I will take your recommendation. I will probably maybe watch that at some point.
I think I have seen this film, but I think I watched it in film study, so that was going back to college.
Okay.
So maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I have to watch it.
So I am Jack's regular musings. Went back to Ben from Nurse Chatting and said, "Love this film. Another on the all-time great list. I caught it over and over. It kickstarted a love affair with noir and detective stories." I mean, you can't beat a good noir like and detective. Noir, yeah. Definitely.
I think, yeah, we're going to have to watch this one.
And James Ellroy novels that continues until this day. So 20th Century Geek _pod at 20th Century Geek said, "Ooh, good question. Quick list. The Rocketeer, The Shadow, The Untouchables, and American Psycho."
Cool.
I am afraid I have not seen any of them. Wyatt Lane at Wyatt Lane said, "Mad Men is still probably one of my favourite shows of all time."
Ooh. Yeah, I think I watched one episode of it and then I didn't watch any for some reason.
I think that happened with me too.
Yeah.
It was about, was it about cigarettes? A company that sold cigarettes? Or was it advertising?
It's like advertising. Yeah. That everyone was smoking.
That's the one.
I don't know if they were advertising cigarettes.
No, maybe. I don't think so. I just think they all smoked at that time, right?
Yeah. It was a very attractive show. Yes. I didn't get into it for some reason. I think I was watching like Dexter at the time or something.
Yeah.
Is that at the same time?
I think so, around that kind of time. Maybe. Yeah. Obviously, you wait for the serial killer show.
Obviously.
So Ben from Nurse Chatting said, "Holy crap, yes," to my Ben. The last one we've got, so Rosebud of Penny Pie at Rosebud Orson said, "American Psycho, 80s yuppie culture at its best, with some awesome 80s music history courtesy of Mr. Bateman." So I've heard a lot about American Psycho and I haven't seen this, and we need to start a running list from last week. We took one off with Walk the Line, didn't we?
Sure.
But American Psycho is definitely one I need to watch, I think. So thank you everyone for taking part in our hook topics, and there were some fantastic suggestions that we will put on our list of things to watch.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Really hope you enjoy this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us to let us know what your thoughts were for Hook Topics, or whether you enjoy the episode, or you have any recommendations for us to add to our to-watch list, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
So you can contact Nicola on twitter.com/wehaveahulkpod. She's probably also watching Facebook and Instagram.
Keeping an eye on, but not so much.
/wehaveahulkpod also. We're kind of on youtube.com/wehaveahulk.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also on DLive, /DMIT, at We Have a Hulk.
We also have a website if you prefer reading format. So for the latest news and reviews, head to wehaveahulk.co.uk.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about in next week's episode then, Chris, because we've got a very busy weekend that we have lots to talk about, which is quite exciting.
We're probably talking about the match.
Yes.
On this Wednesday.
Yes.
Which is England versus
Croatia. Semi-finals.
Semi-final game. We're going to lose, but it'll be fun. I hope we get through. Can't get our hopes up, right? And then we'll be talking about Hotel Artemis, which we're seeing as an unlimited screening on Tuesday tomorrow.
And if we get time, Skyscraper, so the new Dwayne Johnson /The Rock film is coming out. The most ridiculous looking action set piece ever, that jump.
Cool, we'll probably do that a week after.
Maybe. Well, we're basically going on holiday next week,
right?
So we'll schedule in this episode.
Sure, yeah, we'll do two episodes in one go, and then we'll schedule one of them for the break. Cool.
So if you're a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. We very much love you. And if you're a new listener, well done for making it this far. I really hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
And if you want to check out any of our back catalogue, then do. We've got lots of interviews from famous faces that you can peruse for your enjoyment, and lots of movie reviews and TV review. So if you want to go and check those out, that would be great. But once again, thank you so much for listening and hope to see you next time.
Bye.